Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
World Championship Wrestling was often a hotbed of contention and controversy during its 13-year history. And while WCW often had to fire wrestlers for bad behaviour, there were also plenty of times the company themselves went too far, causing wrestlers to leave over planned angles on TV. I'm Adam Nicholas, this is What Culture Wrestling, and these are 10 wrestlers who quit WCW over angles. Number 10, Mick Foley, lost in Cleveland. Mick Foley was one of the central wrestlers in the formative Attitude Era that helped catapult the WWF into finally defeating WCW in the Monday Night War. But before signing with the WWF in 1996, he made a name for himself as Cactus Jack in the early 90s with World Championship Wrestling, where he participated in some legendary battles with Sting at Beach Blast and Big Van Vader. Foley left WCW for many reasons, with a significant one being the Lost in Cleveland skits that they made him participate in. They're cringeworthy to watch, with Mick going on record as saying nothing approached the levels of awfulness that Lost in Cleveland did. They originated from Mick needing some time off the road, so WCW wrote him off TV after Vader powerbombed him on the concrete floor. Rather than hype Foley's return to savagely get revenge on Vader with intense promos he was known for cutting, WCW had him film comedic vignettes where a fake news reporter tried to get to the bottom of Foley's whereabouts. It would ultimately be revealed Jack went insane and he was institutionalized, only to escape and develop amnesia. They did absolutely nothing to hype his eventual return to the company. Actually, they did worse than nothing. Foley quit WCW not long afterwards and left for ECW in Japan to reclaim his hardcore legend identity. Number 9, Stan Hansen, the Desperados. In 1981, the lariat Stan Hansen was working for both World Championship Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling. One week he would be in WCW feuding with Lex Luger for the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship, and the other week he would be working tours in AJPW, winning the AJPW World Tag Team Championship with Dan Spivey. Hansen was supposed to return to WCW full-time, but quit the whole company after they wanted him to partner with a clumsy cowboy trio consisting of Dutch Mantel, Black Bart, and Deadeye Dick that went by the name The Desperados. They had a bunch of vignettes on television where the trio acted cartoonish and were actually actively looking for Hansen in Wild West surroundings. Hansen took one look at this and quit entirely. He'd respected the trio that made up the Desperados, but the gimmick just wasn't for him. And as a result of this, the Desperados were quickly dropped and disappeared from television. Number 8, Kimberly Page, Flashing Scott Steiner. The Diamond Doll and leader of the Nitro Girls, Kimberly Page, turned heads during her entertaining run with WCW, but she would depart the company in June 2000, with creative differences being the excuse given at the time. Now, there were unfounded rumours that she left over an issue with Tammy Sitch and her ongoing drug issues, but Kimberly has since rebuffed those and spoken of how one angle in particular was the catalyst that instigated her exit. Lead writer Vince Russo was insisting she get more physically involved in storylines at the time, with Kimberly hesitating and not really wanting to. One angle he proposed was for Kimberly to flash her breasts, which would be pixelated on TV, at Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner, who was breaking out as a main eventer under Russo's watch. Kimberly rejected the idea, obviously, with Steiner confronting her backstage, which led to a huge real-life fight between Steiner and Kimberly's husband, Diamond Dallas Page. Steiner and DDP's fight left both men damaged, with DDP's face cut and Steiner's eyes swelling up, and in the aftermath, Kimberly wasn't seen on WCW television ever again. Number 7, Johnny B. Badd, a relationship with the Diamond Doll. Mark Merrow made a name for himself as Johnny B. Badd in WCW, even winning the World Television Championship 3 times, but it was a disagreement over an angle he participated in that would see him leave WCW. In 1995, Badd started a feud with Diamond Dallas Page, with them wrestling at Halloween Havoc and at the World War 3 pay-per-view, where the stipulation was if Badd won, he would win the valet services of Page's real-life wife, wife, Kimberly. And while Bad did indeed win that match, he was not a fan of this angle at all. In real life, Johnny held deeply religious beliefs. He was married to his wife, Rena Mero, we all know as Sable, and Bad was concerned with how people would perceive him outside of wrestling. Many felt Bad and Kimberly had great chemistry together, but Bad pressured WCW's higher-ups to drop the angle. The Wrestling Observer wrote at the time that Bischoff apparently said that he didn't want to be in a situation where every time they booked him in an angle, he'd not want to do it if Jesus Christ wouldn't approve of it first. This angle and the backstage reaction to it were the catalyst for Bad to look for work elsewhere, and he would eventually sign with WWF in 1996. Number 6, Chris Benoit, winning a world title he didn't want. Chris Benoit was vocally unhappy with WCW in the lead-up to Sold Out 2000, where he would make Sid Vicious tap out to the Crippler Crossface to become the World Heavyweight Champion for the first time in the company. Issues with head booker Kevin Sullivan had escalated to the point where Benoit had begun hating coming into work every week for Nitro or Thunder. When WCW informed Benoit he was indeed winning the title, he'd stopped caring entirely at that point and told them, "I don't want it. I don't want this opportunity. I'm not happy and I want to leave." Regardless, Sullivan and WCW management booked Benoit to win that night, thinking it would convince Chris to stay in the company. But unfortunately for them, Benoit saw past the gesture for what it truly was. As with many other wrestlers in the past with WCW, it was just too little, too late. Benoit showed up at Nitro the next day and quit WCW. Number 5, Hulk Hogan, the Bash at the Beach worked shoot. Bash at the Beach 2000 was home to the infamously controversial angle between head writer Vince Russo and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And it was an angle that would result in Hulk Hogan never stepping in the WCW ring ever again. Russo had dictated that Hogan was going to lose to reigning World Heavyweight Champion Jeff Jarrett. Hogan vetoed this with his creative control clause as he wasn't happy with the overall direction of his character. A fed up Russo booked Jarrett to literally lie down so Hogan could easily pin him in what was meant to be a worked shoot. Hogan would say to Russo on the mic that night, "Is this your deal, Russo? That's why the company's in the shape it's in, because of bullshit like this," and would score the win and title by simply placing his foot on Jarrett's chest for the 1-2-3. Now, all of this had been agreed upon before between Hogan and Russo, with the Hulkster scheduled to exit the company for a few months afterwards, only to make a triumphant return at Halloween Havoc. But of course, as we all know, that never happened. Russo later returned after Hogan had left the building and publicly chastised the Immortal One. A furious Hogan quit the company shortly afterwards and ended up filing a lawsuit against Russo for defamation of character. Number 4, Brian Pillman, the loose cannon leaves for ECW. Brian Pillman's exit from WCW was masterful and will most likely never be replicated. Towards the end of 1995, Brian Pillman breathed new life into his character by creating his edgy, mentally unstable loose cannon persona, which took off in a huge way. Everything Pillman did had a wink to the audience, almost as if he was breaking the fourth wall. In his match with Eddie Guerrero at Clash of Champions 32, Pillman impulsively grabbed commentator Bobby the Brain Heenan by the collar, which resulted in Heenan to yell, "On air, what the fuck are you doing?" And at Super Bowl VI, in his strap match with real-life WCW committee member Kevin Sullivan, Pillman declared on the microphone, "I respect you, Booker Man," before just leaving the ring entirely. The loose cannon was the mainstream originator of intertwining fact and fiction. And more importantly, the angle was starting to catch on. So much so that Pillman amazingly convinced WCW president Eric Bischoff to let him loose of his contract and go and secretly develop the gimmick further in ECW, only to later come back to WCW with even more hype than before. Somewhat unsurprisingly, the loose cannon angle majorly backfired on Bischoff as Pillman went ahead and signed with the WWF in 1996 after only a brief stint in ECW. Number 3, Jim Cornette, Halloween Havoc hijinks. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but by all accounts, Jim Cornette's not the easiest personality to get along with in pro wrestling, especially if you've got contrasting opinions on how a promotion should be run and booked. Executive Vice President Jim Herd and head booker Ole Anderson knew this all too well in WCW in the early 90s. In the run-up to Halloween Havoc 1990, he was seething with both of them over the lack of TV time his team, the Midnight Express, were receiving. They would travel hundreds of miles on the road in between shows, only to often do nothing more than two-minute interview segments. Jim Ross, then part of the booking committee for WCW, would go to bat for Cornette, but it backfired and resulted in them being jobbed out on TV. It all came to a head at Halloween Havoc when the Express arrived at the arena to find they would be losing in the opening match. Not only that, Herd and Anderson wanted more entertainment for the show to fit with the goofy Halloween theme, so made Cornette wear a Confederate soldier costume and had a pumpkin chucked over his head during the show. This was indeed the final straw for the Prince of Polyester, who quit WCW later that week. Number 2, Chris Jericho, the collapse of Jericho vs. Goldberg. In 1998, Chris Jericho started to get himself over and get attention by calling out WCW's breakout success Bill Goldberg in an effort to start a feud with him. Jericho pushed to build a match where he would repeatedly call Goldberg out, only for Demand to pulverise and make short work of him at an upcoming pay-per-view. But it never happened, unfortunately, as Goldberg, then new to the pro wrestling business, simply didn't get it and wanted no part of it. He saw Jericho as nothing but a cruiserweight that would hurt his reputation. Jericho, meanwhile, and correctly we should point out, saw himself as having massive headliner potential one day in the future. Jericho tried to sway WCW president Eric Bischoff and influencer Hulk Hogan into booking the match, but he just couldn't manage to persuade them. The lack of an angle being booked between the two resulted in Jericho deciding there was no going forward in this company, and he strategically planned his exit to the WWF. WCW offered Jericho a load of money to stay when his contract was coming to an end, but unfortunately, he'd already made up his mind. In a move that you've got to say he probably didn't regret, he quit WCW and became the massively popular Y2J in the WWF. And number one, with a bullet, Ric Flair, Spartacus. Legend of the Squared Circle Ric Flair and Executive Vice President of World Championship Wrestling Jim Herd routinely fought in the early 90s. Herd wasn't a fan of the 39-year-old multi-time champion, believing his main event days were over. Flair, meanwhile, thought Herd knew nothing about wrestling. Herd was pretty hesitant to book Ric, even asking him to take a massive pay cut in his contract. This understandably irked the nature boy, who was widely considered to be the greatest pro wrestler to ever lace up a pair of boots. But it was when Herd suggested that Flair undergo a total makeover that he started making his exit plans from WCW. Many have gone on record as saying Herd wanted Flair to drop his entire Nature Boy persona, cut his trademark blonde locks, and debut a Roman gladiator gimmick to freshen up his character. As you can imagine, this Spartacus angle was the breaking point for Flair, who left WCW as the reigning world champion, no less. Herd faxed the termination notice to Flair's lawyer to try and save a bit of face, but make no mistake about it, Flair left on his own terms. And not only that, but he would end up carrying the big gold belt into the WWF when he first debuted for them in August 1991.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.